T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Big Ted used to be ACC with Bruno Fernando, and now you're really going to like Bruno Fernando. I'm telling you, Bruno Fernando's going to be the one guy you're not talking about. He could really play. 6'10", block shots. I mean, he was a terror in the Big Ten last season. You're going to like him an awful lot. Your reaction to this, but just some of the other headlines on a day where Hugh and I were just talking about Dallas Keuchel making his debut for the Atlanta Braves tonight, running into, and you're right, Hugh, a buzzsaw in Washington. But, of course, Atlanta's a bit of its own buzzsaw, too.
Potential buzzsaw. I think that, you know, with what they were able to accomplish and, you know, riding that kind of momentum with this homestand, you just got to be aware of what could potentially happen. You know, not saying that, you know, Atlanta ain't no punk. I mean, they ain't going up there like, oh, my gosh, mm-hmm. we got to play. You know, no, not like that. But you just got to know, you have to know the enemy.
Yeah, and
be
then,
prepared.
And then, of course, that's tonight with Dallas Keuchel making his Braves debut. Had to rip off a piece of paper because I want to go back to something at the top of the show. Atlanta United getting ready. Their next game will be Wednesday against Toronto FC up in Canada. There's Canada again making its appearance. Atlanta United has a weird situation. They had 4 people picked for the MLS All-Star game. Those 4 players that were picked for the MLS All-Star game voted in. Brad Guzan, goalkeeper. We don't have any problem with that.
He's been what they say in hockey, standing on his head. Mm-hmm. He's had a couple games where he stood on his head.
Leandro Gonzalez Perez, better known as LGP, as a defender, one of the best in the league. Ezequiel Barco, who's been great for Atlanta United this year. And then the 4th has left us all scratching our head. The 4th is Pity Martinez.
So what is this for the before I respond, what is this for?
The All-Star game.
The American, like the MLS.
For MLS, All-Star game.
Okay. Only thing I can think about that and say is that maybe they're looking at his contribution a lot different than we are as, you know, fans of MLS. That's the only thing I think. Because I think this is voted on by your peers have as much vote as the fans do, correct? If I'm not mistaken. Then it's not Abe. This is all fan vote?
Yeah, I think the fans got the Martinez's confused. I think they didn't realize which Martinez they were voting for.
I mean, that's one theory. I mean, that's one theory. I try to step back and kind of look at the perspective of the people that are voting. And, you know, not only because I'm here in Atlanta and I hear what people say and I've actually seen them and seen how, you know, the dynamic has been between him and Joseph. And the only thing that I can come up with, John, is he came in with a lot of cachet, came in with a lot of fanfare, and people saw that. And I would even go further to say that maybe people aren't paying as much attention to soccer as we once thought they were. And they're mostly looking at the name recognition, maybe.
Well, G. Martinez would come ahead of J. Martinez on the ballot, and I think people just saw G. Martinez, Atlanta United, and
I haven't seen a ballot, but I would probably say with all the Martinez's that were on the ballot, that they would probably have to actually spell out their name so that they won't have that mistake.
Yep, that's what I think. This is just, I think Pity's probably shocked that he made the All-Star team because, frankly, he doesn't deserve to be on the All-Star team.
And well, John, I think it's an honor to be on the All-Star team. And if it's one of a player, regardless of how you feel about if he deserves to be on it or not, I think, you know, you take the diplomatic route and still, you know, pull for him, even though you might feel like he might not be deserving. Now, I'm not going to lie. When I heard that and I saw it, I'm like, maybe it's because of what the name recognition he came in with, or the cachet that he came into the league with. Maybe that's it.
It's weird. I mean, the reigning MVP, record-setting Golden Boot winner, 3rd in the league in goals, is not on the All-Star team. I think this is just a confusion as to who they were voting for.
So you see, So your theory is that the people were voting and weren't actually looking for who they were voting. They just saw Martinez and checked the box.
Yeah, well, there's that. And but I think there's something to be said for what you said, and that is that, you know, Pitti was the reigning South America Player of the Year, and if the folks from Argentina wanted to flood it, I guess they could. But, I mean, you got to get Joseph. And look, the Pitti's on the team, great. They got to put Joseph on the team.
And then,
and a couple of ways. Look, Joseph is going to make this team.
And then you got to think, John, you – with – And listen, I don't know if this has anything to do with anything. I'm just kind of throwing it out there. With people might feel a little differently about him with some of the, you know, his personal views, some of the things that he said, you know, personally. Like, they might not be feeling, you know, Joseph right now. That might be the case. So you just never know. It's just one of those things where, yes, I acknowledge that it's a little fishy, but I don't think it's as simple as somebody, oh, we forgot to check the box on, you know, who is who. I don't think that's what it was.
Help me out. What personal things? Did I miss something?
I don't know. I mean, you know, with, you know, like some of the views, his country views on what's going on in Venezuela and things of that nature. Yeah, okay. I was trying to be vague.
I was trying to be a little vague. I missed a story or something.
Well, yeah, I mean, and the thing is this, John. It's not like I saw him say anything that was damning anything, but,
right.
You know, some people, for them, it's hard to separate the two. You know, it might be a situation whether or not they feel like he took a stance or he didn't take a stance. They might be in the feelings behind that. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And he did come out and say that he was against Maduro and against what has happened in his country. That is absolutely correct. He came out and fought, you know, what was his name? Guaido. Is that right? I think so. The interim president. And, of course, Venezuela is still down in whatever state it's in right now, and they haven't figured that out down there yet. Who knows when they will? But anyway, just neither here nor there. The All-Star team, Joseph is going to be on the team. There's a couple of different routes. He can make the team now. He could be added as a reserve, for example, and he's going to be on the team. It's just an interesting thing when all of a sudden the news came out that Pitti Martinez made it and Joseph didn't. I went, what? How could that happen? So I think part of it is just a mistaken identity, I think, but I could be wrong. You never know. Anyway, that's where we stand with Atlanta United and with the Braves with Dallas Keuchel. No mistaking who Dallas Keuchel is because he didn't go to the Yankees, didn't have to shave his beard. He's going to be out. The bearded one is going to be on the mound tonight for the Atlanta Braves. We're also reacting to the NBA draft where the Atlanta Hawks take all six picks, make five trades with those six picks, and end up with three picks, DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish, and Bruno Fernando. I think all three are going to be impact players for this team. And I think Hunter and Fernando from the jump are going to be impact guys. I think Reddish will too to some degree, but I think you're really going to like what you see when Cam Reddish grows. But boy, there's a lot of reaction to Cam Reddish that seems to be, there's no in-between with Cam Reddish. You really love the potential of his upside and his athleticism, or you think he is way out overrated.
Yeah, and that's how it's been. It's been through that. It's been like that for him throughout this whole process. I remember when they had him on the stage, I think it was Rachel Nichols, and it was him and Zion Williamson. And I thought it was just kind of odd that most of the conversation was about Zion, so much so that they asked Cam a question about Zion, which I thought was kind of strange. And then, you know, you hear different people say different things about him and his work ethic and everything. It got me to thinking, John, maybe it was the same way when he was at school with Zion Williamson. And he was a guy who Zion got all the love. And him being a teammate that he is, it's kind of probably feeling like, you know, not like he's jealous or anything, but, you know, some people have the personalities where they're okay with taking a back seat to somebody when they're getting all the shine. They still go out there and they do their thing, but he's okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with that being said, maybe subconsciously he didn't exert himself in a way that people felt that he should have been on the team that he was on because of Zion Williamson. Maybe that was the case. But now, being here with Coach Pierce and this being an all-inclusive group, maybe they can bring that out of him. And the reason why I'm feeling like this, folks, and I'm kind of breaking it down like this is because talking to Travis Link and getting a pretty good idea of how he views players or how he tries to evaluate players, the biggest thing that I've heard him say is that he likes to have guys that work hard and they want to project not just being an NBA player but being a great player. So that's why I'm kind of, you know, formulating the opinion that I have about Cam and the fact that he's coming to a team where he's going to be a big part of what they're trying to build. He's on the ground floors of what they're trying to build here.
And by the way, the general manager, Travis Schlenk, joins us live in about 11 minutes from now, all right? So don't go anywhere. Jerome in Fayetteville's been patient, and I appreciate that, Jerome. Jerome, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going this morning, guys?
Good, man.
Awesome, awesome. I just want to say Travis and the scouting department did another great job. I mean, getting the three players we picked up last night was an awesome job. We already have our Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Kevin Huerter and Trae Young. The only problem I had was Solomon Hill money and that crab money. I would have rather put that money into Vince Carter, but the guys did an awesome job with the picks last night.
Yeah, I think what it says, Jerome and Hugh, is that, you know, in picking up the contracts, they're both expiring contracts. You're going to have a bunch of expiring contracts on this team with Bazemore, now Crabb, and Solomon Hill. First off, I don't think Solomon Hill ever really it wouldn't shock me if they just cut him and ate the contract.
He's definitely a buyout potential player.
Right, that's what I think they'll do. Crabb can play for you a little bit. Solomon Hill, I think they just buy him out.
And picking up the Bruno Fernando, I mean, I know they did the homework on him last year when they was looking at Kevin, so I know they have a diamond in the rough in Bruno also.
Right. No, I think Bruno's NBA ready now. I mean, when you say diamond in the rough, I think he's ready to play instantly, big and strong as he is. For Solomon Hill and Alan Crabb and all these expiring contracts, what it says to us is there's no they're going to have, I don't know what they have left under the cap, maybe 10, 11 million. They're not going out and getting anybody this year.
They're going to put themselves in a great position. They're going to work with what they have. If there's going to be a free agent added, it's not going to be a big name free agent. It's going to be kind of like in the vein of a Vince Carter. Somebody like that, complimentary player.
And by the way, it could be Vince Carter.
Yeah, it could be Vince Carter.
They still have enough money to bring Vince back. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, they're just going to eat these contracts. Crabb will play a little bit for you. And then after next season, you're going to see a lot of guys, those guys like, I don't think, maybe Hill does play. I don't know. We'll see when Travis Schlenk joins us about kind of what the larger plan is. I want to take a moment and just set up the interview with Travis Schlenk so that you understand, if we can be as transparent as we can be on 92.9 The Game, about what Travis Schlenk can and cannot talk about. These NBA rules, I think they're silly. I think they're stupid when you have DeAndre Hunter walking up in a Lakers uniform and ESPN talking about what the Lakers got in him, knowing full well that he wasn't even a Laker. He wasn't even a Pelican who they traded him to. He wasn't either of those teams. He was a Hawk, and everybody knew it, is that because the trades are not official until free agency ends on July the 7th, okay, then Travis Schlenk is forbidden under penalty of serious fine from talking about DeAndre Hunter and Bruno Fernando because they were part of trades that involved veteran players who are involved in trades and free agency, all right? He also can't talk about Crabb and he can't talk about Hill. So the only guy he could talk about is Cam Reddish. I just want to make sure you understand we are not dodging asking him what he thinks of Bruno Fernando or of DeAndre Hunter. We have to ask broader questions, and then when we ask the broader questions, you can probably start to parse some of it around and see what he's thinking, okay? I think that largely we can ask broad questions, Hugh, but I want fans to understand, hey, you didn't ask him what DeAndre Hunter is, whether, you know.
Well,
I mean, because
because you know what? We got a pretty good relationship going with Travis Schlenk, and he does a great job, in my mind, of telling us as much as he possibly can without getting in trouble. So I know some of y'all want us to be hard-hitting journalists, but we're not about to do that because, number one, we ain't about to mess up this good thing we got going, you know, with this relationship. Number two, I don't want to get called in office. I get tired of getting called in office for stuff, so we're not going to do that. But we're going to try to do our best to get as much as we possibly can get and keep it above board.
Well, we'll get the broad overview from the commissioner about what the Hawks did and what he thinks and how excited he is for the team, the commissioner, the GM, going forward. He ought to be the commissioner, frankly, but I'm glad he's our GM. And we will get the insight on the development of the one guy we can really talk about, which is actually in some ways the most intriguing guy, and that's Cam Reddish. Travis Schlenk, general manager of the Hawks, joins John and Hugh live next after a CBS Sports Minute.
We do like the draft. We think that it's got good depth to it. So we're looking at everything that's available to us.
Morning after the NBA draft, live on the home of the Hawks, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, flagship station of the Atlanta Hawks Radio Network. And from the Kia Studios, John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The reaction across the Atlanta and Hawks universe has been overwhelmingly positive to what General Manager Travis Schlenk was able to do last night. And we will begin our interview again with that caveat that we've been talking about all morning about some of the restrictions that we have on asking questions. But
yeah, basically, we can't talk about some things that we can't talk about. Right. We can only talk about one person. Yep. So, you know, don't get all up in your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
If we're being really vague.
All right, so here we go.
We're trying to, you know, keep it cool.
We welcome into the program the general manager of the Atlanta Hawks, Travis Schlenk, on the morning after the draft. Morning to you, Travis.
Gentlemen, how are you this morning?
Pretty good, Trav. I know last night, you know, you had to do a couple fist pumps. You know, getting the guy you wanted. There was a little bit of excitement. You can get excited now, Trav. You know, the draft is over.
Time will tell whether we're smart or dumb,
as
they say.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? That's funny. I was talking about this morning. You've kind of stayed in the same vein when it comes to some of these young players. But when you look at the way that this team could potentially be constructed, you have to feel good about that, being that you've only been here for a little bit of time. And it looks like right now on paper that you could probably have a pretty exciting young squad.
Hello?
Yep, we can hear you, Travis.
Okay, no, I lost you there for a second.
Oh,
sorry.
Wow, I dropped all that and you ain't even here. Well, let me see if I can read.
Yeah,
let me
I'm
see
sure
if I can. Let me see if I can load that back up. Pretty much, Trav, you have to feel good about the potential that this young squad has right now.
Yeah, listen, I said it last night. You know, this is my third draft here. And we feel lucky. We spent really the last 2 years trying to accumulate a bunch of assets so that we could get aggressive in the draft. And last night we were able to use the assets that we've collected over the last couple of years to make transactions to go up and get guys that we really thought would be great fits with the players that we have here. And that's what we did last night. And as you mentioned, some of those transactions can't take place until July because of the system the league has in place. But, you know, the one guy that we can talk about is Cam. And, you know, we kind of made a bet that we might be able to get him at 10. And so we rolled the dice on that, and we got lucky, and he was there, and we were extremely excited about it.
That was the fist pump moment, John Fricky, right there. When he pumped. I could see Trav pump like, yeah, I could see that.
When
right
the Hachimura everything came down? Oh, yeah. We're joined by Travis Schlenk, general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. There's been a lot of talk about Cam Reddish. There's no middle ground on this young man. Tell me what you really like about him and what you project him out to be.
Oh, what we really like about him, he's a basketball player, John. We say all the time, where, you know, we're looking for, you know, skilled guys, multi-positional guys. Like he literally played point guard coming up through the high school ranks. And, you know, this year at Duke, he goes to the three. You know, he's 6'8", with a 7-foot wingspan. He obviously can handle. He's a really good passer. And, you know, even though he didn't have a great year this past year shooting the ball at Duke, statistically, you know, he projects out to be a very good shooter in the NBA. He's obviously going to get a lot better. The great kids, great family. And obviously, you know, being at Duke has a great pedigree, been around great coaches. So, you know, we are extremely excited that he was still there at the 10th pick.
You know what, Trav, that's something that you've said and you've stayed true to since we've been talking that kind of sticks out to me. You know, it's all about the kids that project to be good NBA players. But not only that, you look at them and see them being more than, you know, just a guy that got drafted. Is that the same way that you see a Cam Reddish? And do you feel like because he played with Zion Williams, that kind of took a back seat because Zion got all the pub at Duke?
Yeah, and you know, that's hard for a kid. You know, Cam came in. I mean, every team he's been on, just like all these kids that make it to the NBA, he's the best player on this team. And then when you go to Duke and, you know, what happened with Zion, you know, he rolled with it. You know, he didn't get upset. He rolled with it. He was happy for Zion. You know, he played his role. And so when you get a kid who's extremely talented like Cam but has the personality that's willing to fit in and do what's best for the team, you know, those are the kind of guys we're looking for.
Travis Schlenk,
a lot of sense.
Yeah, Travis Schlenk joining us, general manager of the Atlanta Hawks, day after the NBA draft. Travis, I want to go back to the lottery night, the lottery ball night in Chicago. Once you get through that, This is a two-part question. Did you expect, was it your game plan, and did you expect to, by today, this morning, have made five picks through the NBA draft, and did it generally turn out as you expected, or was it a bit of a surprise to you how it fell?
Well, going into it, we obviously knew that we had a bunch of picks. We knew that we probably didn't want to add that many rookies to the roster, so we knew that there were going to be a lot of transactions taking place. You know, we, as I mentioned earlier, we made the gamble that we could consolidate some of those picks to get guys we wanted. And we got lucky, and those guys that we wanted were there in the spots that we kind of anticipated they might be.
Is it really luck, or Travis, when you kind of map this out, I mean, you got a plan, right?
I'm not smart enough to get to all this stuff right. There's got to be luck involved, man.
Yeah, we're beginning to think, Travis, you are smart enough.
You're the guru. You got to be the guru. Feel like you're a little bit of a guru.
Please tell us you are, because that's what fans are saying this morning. And Travis, we trust. I mean,
next year they'll be saying, "Well, who is this buffoon?"
Well, I don't know about that. Man. Your track record's been pretty darn strong.
No, but you got to respect that about Trav, because you keep it in perspective. And that's the thing, because I'm pretty sure, like, you know, you've seen some of the things that people have said about the Hawks draft this year. And I guess to keep it in perspective, you have to go back and look at what people said about the Hawks draft last year to kind of help you get grounded. Do you do a little bit of that as well?
I don't go back and look and see what people said, but I do know that because I've been around for 40-plus years in this world, they only care about what you did last night. They're not worried about what you did last year.
This is true. This is true.
We mess up tomorrow. We're buffoons. People think we're good today. Great. We'll take it. But you're only as good as your last play, as they say, or last transaction.
People are tweeting this morning all over the place in many different ways. We have Travis Schlenk joining us this morning on the WayForward.com hotline. Hey, Travis, now that we can talk about the one player we can talk about, of course, is Cam Reddish, that means the Luka Doncic trade is done. Trae Young and Cam Reddish for Luka Doncic. Are you pretty happy as it all turns out?
I'm glad we can be done with that. I've said it before. I think it was a good trade for both teams. Both teams got what they're looking for. We feel like we have two really good players. You know, Dallas got a really good player. So I think it worked out for both teams.
Travis Schlenk report brought to you by the Georgia Lottery. Let's expand this out and talk with the Hawks general manager. Any surprises that jump out at you, things you can talk about the NBA draft last night, or did it go, setting your team aside, and you, Travis, was there anything that surprised you last night, or did it go kind of like to the form you thought it might go when you put up your board?
Well, no, there were certainly surprises. We talked about it, throughout this whole process. Last night was, for lack of a better term, a really flat draft. You know, obviously everyone knew who the first few picks were going to be. But then, as we talked about, there were going to be some teams that would have guys rated really, really high, and other teams were going to have those guys in the 30s. And that's what we saw last night. There are a few surprises, but it doesn't mean they were bad choices. It's just, you know, the talent level of this draft was really, really flat. So if you liked a guy, you felt like maybe you could get him anywhere. You saw that last night. There were guys that, you know, one of my favorite things about last night was the Cam Johnson pick from North Carolina, and his teammate, when he got drafted 11th, was on the stand, Kobe White, his reaction to that pick. It doesn't mean it was a bad pick. You know, we had him rated, I think, 20th on our board, and he went 11th, so this is not like any sort of surprise he went in the first round. But, you know, all the draft experts and all the stuff you saw on websites, you know, you saw him in the 30s. So it's just what the draft was this year.
We, of course, now enter Travis Schlenk into free agency here. I know that you're going to be – we understand where you stand in terms of free agency. It's probably not going to happen that much. But just generally and broadly in free agency, do you expect that, you know, given the injuries that the two studs at Golden State have, do you expect this is going to be – with all the big names, Kemba Walker and Kawhi Leonard and even KD and Klay, even though they're injured, that this is going to be a wild free agency period in the NBA?
Yeah, well – I think it's already been wild, right? You know, the fact that we've had the injuries, there's been reports of deals already been done, you know, 2 weeks before you're allowed to. You know, I think that's a real issue we have in this league right now, is how the league is going to react to all these reported deals that are already done. You know, nothing's supposed to happen until, you know, 6 o'clock on June 30th. And, you know, we all get on the internet and we read about all these guys already have their deals at all these places. It's really going to be interesting to see how the league handles all this stuff. I think if all the reports are true that have been reported of all these guys going certain places, is you've seen all these teams create all this cap space, and because of maybe the injury to KD and Clay, there's not going to be a ton of movement. So you're going to see a ton of teams out there with cap space who aren't going to be able to get into the game and get guys they thought they had a chance at. And that's one of the reasons why we decided to go early and use some cap space to pick up future assets and take on some money, because I think there's going to be a bunch of teams that have money that are going to be in the market of trying to collect assets. And there's just not going to be that. It's going to be a seller's market when it comes to trying to get off money, because there's going to be a lot of teams looking to do it.
You know, Trav, just getting back to the draft a little bit, and, you know, congratulate you for that. Cam Reddish. Now, you know, every team has different places where they have guys rated and everything. Where did you have Cam Reddish rated on your draft board?
We had him inside our top 10. You know, I actually went back with our staff yesterday afternoon when we were kind of coming up with our game plan for the night, and said, you know, where do we have the guys we're looking for? And Cam in particular, we had ranked inside the top 5 all year long. So when we kind of felt like we had a shot to get him at 10, if we went down this certain path, it made a pretty easy decision for us to give it a shot.
Hey, Travis, you know, I again...
They're picking up the trash on my street here.
Yeah, and what kind of a bird is that anyway?
It's a chirpy bird.
Chirpy bird.
He was talking about, he heard the bird in the background, and he was wondering what kind of bird that was making all that noise.
I don't know what it was.
Hey,
Travis. Like he's not a bird. He don't got time to be watching birds, man.
Travis, let Hugh and I be the first to congratulate you. I know you're limited on what you could talk about, but by all accounts, was an A-plus kind of night, and congratulations on a great draft.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Right, have a good one.
I apologize for the bird chirping.
No, don't worry about it.
Just wondered if you could
see
it.
You just keep doing what you're doing, Trav. We all right with that. We okay. We okay.
We react to Travis Schlenk talking about what he could talk about and what he can't talk about. Again, he can't talk about DeAndre Hunter or Bruno Fernando to July 7th. It's the NBA.
I think we did pretty good with that.
Yeah,
we didn't say nothing that would get us in trouble.
I never mentioned those names with him in that interview.
And I know for a fact that one of the bosses was listening. We did pretty good. We did all right. Did all right today.
Reacting to the NBA draft, to the Atlanta Hawks and more. Next. With John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Morning show with John and Hugh on this Friday, first day of summer from the Kia Studios. Late last night, Adam Schefter, who covers the NFL, tweeted out that he had received a text from an NFL coach during the NBA draft, okay? And the NFL coach, unnamed by Schefter, was quoted as saying, "Got to get the NBA to change the trade rules so they don't keep sending the kids up there with the wrong hats on. It's embarrassing."
That's what he said they said.
Yep.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was kind of weird that the actual draft music was the music that they used on the NFL draft. Did anybody else catch that? That was one of the first things that jumped out to me, was like the little chime that they play.
Yeah, the din-a-da-ding.
Yeah, was the same one that they play for the NFL.
It's frustrating for us folks. I mean, this is why we go to the fact, and why I kind of railed on it a little bit on Twitter last night, and I railed on it on the show this morning, and I agree with this NFL coach. It's embarrassing. The NBA's got to change this. It's silly that we can have the general manager of the Atlanta Hawks on the day after the draft. They take the fourth player overall and their number one pick, DeAndre Hunter, and he can't talk about him. I'm sorry, but that's just silly.
I hear what you're saying, and just talking to some people here, you know, I get it. I don't have a problem with it, I guess, because I look at it as just the way that the league does business and the way that the league has been doing business for years. kind of falls into the same vein for me as the whole Luka Doncic, Trae Young thing last year. I know that's something totally different, but it's kind of the same thing as far as when you talk about putting on the hat and going somewhere else.
Well, yeah, that's true, but he could talk about the trade the next day.
But I look at it like this. If this hadn't involved multiple players that were already signed to an NBA team and, you know, multiple moving parts, that this would be a non-issue. I think that because it's us and people are excited about the draft picks, that, you know, it gives us something as radio people to talk about. I mean, we can still talk about it. We just couldn't talk about Travis Slink about it. We can't talk to Travis about it. I think this is just a much to do about nothing, to be totally honest. But I understand where you're coming from. Had a chance to talk to Paul Crane a little bit and everybody else. I get it. I just don't look at it the same way that you guys do. This, to me, is semantics. This, to me, is paperwork that needs to be pushed through before you can actually do it. This deal has been done. Gentleman handshake still means something in the NBA. This, to me, is all just semantics. Even to the point where I saw on NBA TV where the young man that we're talking about, DeAndre Hunter, mm-hmm. was basically on television with the Lakers hats on talking about playing for the Lakers. Everybody has to play the game at this point. I just don't see that. I don't have a big issue with it. Because at the end of the day, when we all line up for the summer league and everything, he's going to have on a Hawks uniform. And he's going to be down here in the A. He's going to be going to Walters, and he's going to get him a pair of kicks from Walters, and he's going to go out to get some King of Pops, and he's going to go to Magic City. Hopefully he don't get, you know, caught up at Magic City a whole lot, but Magic City do have some good fish and chicken plates from what I was told, because I haven't been there myself in a while, but I've heard that they have some good food.
That's so, all. Again, this is why we can't talk to the general manager for 2 more weeks.
Wait a minute, is he old enough
to
go to Magic City? Wait a minute, what's the age limit at the strip club?
21.
Him. Oh, no, he can't go. He can't go. So he can't taste the fish plates at the strip club just yet. He got to wait a couple years.
He's 21.
Oh, he's 21? Oh, no, he can get a fish plate then. There you go. He can get a fish plate. He good. He good to go then.
Yeah, he's 21 now. He'll be he turned 21 last December, so he's 21 and a half.
Follies. They say Follies got some good food too. Okay, John, you got it.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, see, I'm so old school that I used to go to the shoe shopping when I was in my 20s. They didn't have food. That was not a concept.
What strip club you was going to? I mean, almost everyone anybody?
Cheetah
got food.
Well, not in the 80s they didn't.
I don't know. I wasn't allowed to be in a strip club in the 80s. Yeah, they have a five-star situation going on right now that a lot of people rave about. Yeah. That they have the lunch specials at the Cheetah. So I've been told. Don't know, but I heard they got a pretty good restaurant.
So here's when we could talk to Travis Schlenk. July 7th. We're already going to book him for that day. What day of the week is that, Abe? Is that a Monday? Whatever day that is, we have to book him that day. We have to just kind of we have to move the schedule around to make him know. Well, we do. We have to book because normally he's on Tuesdays. It's a Sunday. Okay. Well, then book him for July 8th on Monday morning so that we can actually bring him on the 8th of July and he can finally mention the name DeAndre Hunter and the name Bruno Fernando on the air and tell us what he likes about those two guys. We'll have to rebook him for July the 8th on Monday so that we can talk to him about that, because in the interim, he can't talk about anything. We know he's excited. And again, it was a masterstroke. He had 6 draft picks. He had 8, 10, 17, 35, 41, and 44. He ended up making not one, not two, not three, not four, 5 trades. 5 trades, which, by the way, you need to know this going into free agency. Those trades include players like Alan Crabb, who's going to get from Brooklyn, Solomon Hill, who came as part of the trade for the New Orleans Pelicans. Both of those are dump contracts, okay? They're expiring contracts. I think the Hawks will probably just buy Solomon Hill out. Crabb will play for the team some, but you have a lot of expiring contracts, which is going to kind of, as Travis talked about, it will hamstring the team from being able to do anything in free agency, but he looked at the free agent landscape and said, we're not going to be able to do anything anyway, so why not? Because he's right. He's absolutely right, Hugh, when he talks about there are going to be teams like the New York Knicks that are going to have a bunch of free agent money, or the Brooklyn Nets with 2 max contracts, and they're not going to be able to get anybody. Or they're going to way overpay for somebody else just to fill that slot. Way overpay. And this is going to be a wild. Now we enter free agency. This is where what the NBA needs to do is flip the two like the NFL does.
But that's a little weird. Now that is a little weird. You know, now the free agents start to try to figure out where they're going to go to fill out some of these rosters. Yeah, that's weird. you know, especially when you're a guy that maybe has been in, like, you know, just light talks with a team until they go out and a player falls in their lap that happens to play the same position that you play, and then you're probably out of a job. But, yeah, they have that part of it a little messed up. But as far as free agency is concerned, I don't see the Hawks making a too big of a splash in free agency.
Yeah, I don't think they have any money to really do anything. And maybe bring Vince Carter back if that's what they decide to do. They're not going to have a whole lot of cash. But then, you know what's going to happen is after this season, Crabb and Hill and Bays and a lot of these expiring contracts, they come off the books. And next year when the Hawks at the moment have one first-round pick plus a potential second first-round pick that's lottery-protected, and they're going to have a bunch of cap space. And that's just at the moment before the master wheeler and dealer starts doing his thing next year. All right, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we spent a lot of time in the NBA draft. Let's get into a couple other big stories. Number one, Joe Patrick at the top of the hour to talk about the Braves and Dallas Keuchel. Later in the hour, Carlos Bocanegra to talk about Atlanta United in this unusual all-star situation. We'll begin with Dallas Keuchel's debut next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.